because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I have said, 'I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him.' The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, and whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." You may be seated. As we study more in the book of John, I am going to look at verse John 20:30 for the reason of this book, but it's the reason of the whole Bible. And it's the heart of Christianity. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. God's word is for the promotion of others so they have life in his name. John the Apostle knew that was his calling in life. It was to point Jesus to, or point people to Jesus, to elevate Jesus the Christ, so that all men would know him as Savior. John the Baptist also knew that. He knew what his duty was. In verse 8 of chapter 1 tells us, "He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light." You know, we as believers have that same glorious task. We are to witness concerning the true light. You know, in the verses today, what we will look at, it will give us the heart of what a believer is to have. But also it will give us the reason why we must have that heart. It is because of the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. So let's look at this blessed text, which is full of truth. It's full of truth. So it tells us, after this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Enon near Salim, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. So after Jesus had his discussion with Nicodemus in the city, they decided to go to the countryside and baptize. Now, this may have been the very place where John was baptizing earlier. Now, Jesus may have been baptizing there. But John went over by Anan near Salim, and he was baptizing as well. So both of them were doing the ministry of Christ. John was pointing people toward Christ. Jesus was bringing people to himself. And shortly later, John would be imprisoned. But for a while, and then some of the commentators thought it might have been for 6 months or so, both of them were doing ministry. They were baptizing, preaching, working parallel with each other. So you would think that this would be a good thing, and the disciples would be happy. John's disciples should have been praising God. However, some of John's disciples did not see it that way. I believe it was in their immaturity that brought them to the point of some point of jealousy. If we go to verse 25, now discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification, and they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him. Did you pick that up? All are going to him. But our text makes it clear that John was baptizing and Jesus was baptizing. So it seems there was some envy in John's followers. They did not like the perceived competition. Someone else is baptizing now. John's followers wanted to elevate John instead of listening to what John had instructed them, that he was not the light. He was just to bear witness to the light. Now, John, I mean, he was the greatest man who ever lived. That's the words of Jesus. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. It would have been easy for a man like that to take some of the credit. He had the privilege of prophesying about Jesus when Jesus was already walking among us. Yet listen to his response to his ill-advised followers. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. You know, John is giving us the perfect pattern here for ministry. And it's not just ministry for preachers or elders. It's for all believers. To the greatest, to the people like Spurgeon, Calvin, Augustine, to the least of the kingdom of heaven. We are to preach Jesus must increase. God must increase. Why? It's very simple. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. Ministry is a gift. Life is a gift. New life is a gift. We didn't bring anything to the table. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, separated from God. But it is his grace that sought us out. It's His grace that gave us physical life to begin with. And then for us who are believers, spiritual life. We can understand the teachings of God. We come here to study the Scriptures so that the Holy Spirit can complete the good work He has started in us. But it's a gift. It's something we did not achieve. It's a gift from God. A gift from God. You know, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is foolishness to those who do not believe. That's a very burdensome verse. I have brothers and sisters who think it's foolishness. And it burdens my heart. Because it's for those who do not believe. And we know the results of non-belief. But we have received the gift. Not that we've earned it. Not that we achieved it. It's a gift. 2 Corinthians makes this clear. This is Paul writing, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart." By the mercy of God, he has the ministry. By the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 7. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." The power for the ministry we have, the power for the life that we have as believers, is a gift from God as well as the gift. So we see that anything we have is in a ministry. Anything we do as a Christian that advances His kingdom, it's a gift and it's powered by God. It's not our own power. In Colossians 1, Paul says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God." By the will of God. A gift of God. It's something we have not achieved on our own. And in Colossians 1:24, listen to what Paul says. "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filled up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of what I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known." A gift, a stewardship from God. But there's a purpose for this gift. It's for the church. It's for people to make the word of God fully known. This great gift, this great privilege that we have received, this stewardship from God, isn't just to benefit us, it's to benefit the church. It's to benefit the world by bringing the word of God to the people. But you know what? Paul was elevating God above all. You know, and that's exactly what we see in John the Baptist doing in his reply. "He must increase, I must decrease." We must elevate Christ. The heart of humility, the proper assessment of ourselves. We are totally dependent on the works of Jesus Christ. And when we recognize that, we, like John, will rejoice when Jesus Christ is exalted. We will rejoice when the Word of God is preached from whomever. We will rejoice when more people are being saved in the church down the street than here. Our joy will be complete when God's church is advanced, when Christ is elevated. John's joy was complete because, like the bridegroom, Jesus has arrived. And John was a friend of the bride, or of the groom. And when the bridegroom receives his bride, John's heart was filled with joy because his task was complete. Just like the best man at a wedding at that time, he did all the preparation, but it was for the bridegroom. The bridegroom got the bride. John understood his task. John also knew, you know, his time of being the forerunner of the Messiah is nearing. However, he had completed his task, and that brought him joy to his heart. And that joy surpasses all human understanding, because that joy is brought about by the supernatural, a gift from God. And that's what we participate in, the supernatural. We will never make a disciple of Jesus Christ. We will plant and we will water and be faithful, but God gives the increase, and it's a new birth, it's a new creation, it's miraculous. But we play a part in that. We play a part in that. It is because of the preeminence of Jesus Christ working in us. John understood that. Listen to verse 31. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. You know, we just went through the Christmas season and we looked at the prophecies concerning Jesus, who he was and who he is. And in John 1, he tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John gives a testimony. Jesus is part of the triune God, who always existed, who communicated, had the knowledge of the Trinity. And Jesus confirms that in John 6:22. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that I have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." John the Baptist knew that Jesus must increase because he understood the nature of Jesus Christ, the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, the majesty of Jesus Christ. And that's why John was content that Jesus would increase and John would decrease. He knew that he was to point people to Jesus Christ, because he knew that Jesus Christ was the God of truth. In verse 32, it tells us, he bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one received his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. Isn't that amazing? Our God is a God of truth. What did Jesus say to Pilate? I have come to bear witness to the truth. And when we as believers acknowledge that truth, we set our seal upon it, that this God is true. His word is true. And that is the gift of God. When we can understand the scriptures, understand that they are the very words of God, it's a gift given to us. It's the book of life for those who believe, because we understand the truth. In John 8:11, it tells us, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, John understood the attributes of Jesus Christ. He is the God of ultimate truth. He comes from heaven, bearing the truth for mankind and how to be saved. The truth for our very existence. That same John 8, it tells us in verse 34, for he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the scripture, the Spirit, without measure. He gives the Spirit without measure. Jesus Christ received the Holy Spirit without measure. It is because the unity of the Trinity that he has always had. He was there before the creation of the world. He was in communion with God the Father and the Holy Spirit for the plan of salvation. John knew when he saw Jesus, he saw the fullness of the Trinity, the fullness of God walking among men. Colossians 2:9, for in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. Again, Jesus understood he was in the presence of God, and that Jesus, God, must increase. Well, John the Baptist said, I must decrease. Are you beginning to understand the greatness of John the Baptist? It's because he understood his God. He was filled from birth with the Holy Spirit. And he understood he was in the very presence of God when Jesus was there. But he also knew that our God was a God who was in control. Listen to verse 35 again. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. All things into his hand. Our God rules. Our God is in control. And John understood that we must be humble servants of the Most High. You know, humility is the key. A proper understanding of ourselves is the key to a faithful ministry to Jesus Christ. You know, it's easy for us to fall into the sin of pride. Ministers may elevate themselves. They may get too full of themselves. You know, when I first became a Christian, I took some courses in Milwaukee, and one of the professors that I had, he said, you know, he said he didn't think he ever sinned after he was converted to Christianity. And he said that to the class. And I was a new Christian. I didn't know that much then. And I'm sitting there, oh, man, there isn't much hope for me because I know what a sinner I am yet. But he was elevating himself. He wasn't elevating Christ. He wasn't demonstrating humility. And I liked the guy, but I would have a different answer today than I did back then. I didn't know what to say. But it's easy for popular people, and I see his name yet. I know who he is. You'd see him. He's a popular minister. But it's easy for us to get caught up in ourselves. We lose the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. You know, ministers, preachers, Purcell and I, we're not any different than you. Still struggle with sin. We should not be elevated. We have different callings. But it's only we got a different gift from God, that's all. We should never be elevated. We should elevate Christ. You know, churches may elevate their music programs or other church activities. But sometimes that leads into competition for elevating Christ. We lose our focus and think that advancing God's kingdom is on our shoulders. We look through this narrow tunnel of our own vision, our own humanity, thinking that we are the source of the power to elevate God's church. We must never do that. We are not in competition with our God. We are His servants. And when we realize that we are His servants is when God uses us the greatest. When we realize that we are part of something miraculous, that God makes it clear what we are to do. We are to plant and water the increases of Him. I cannot save my brothers and sisters no matter how much I love them. But I can bear witness to the truth and pray to our God that He will save them. It's when we lose that focus that God's church is something miraculous here on earth. When we lose that focus, we become competitors with God, elevating ourselves beyond what is really truth. We are to elevate Jesus Christ. You know, we have a perfect example of a humble man in Scriptures. Moses. Listen to Numbers 11:26. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. Must have been brothers. And the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, my Lord, Moses, stop them. You see the jealousy? Moses, you got competition. Stop them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put His Spirit on them. That's the heart of humility. I wish all the people had the Holy Spirit. I wish all the people would be leaders for God's church. It's not a competition. I'm not jealous. We can do great things for our God. Things that will surpass our own abilities. Things that will surpass our own talents, our own gifts. Because God has prepared a work in advance for you to do, and I believe many times it's different works at different stages of your lives. Who here, maybe an elder or a preacher, who here may do something overseas or something in a community that surpasses their own talents, their own wisdom? It could be any of you. When you are a believer, the Holy Spirit works within you. And that Colossians verse I read earlier, verse 2, verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Verse 10 says, and you have been filled in him. That's speaking of the believers. You have that Holy Spirit working within you. And when we step aside in humility and elevate Jesus Christ, we give free rein for that Holy Spirit to work through us. Because we are recognizing where our power, where our gift comes from, where our very life comes from. It's a gift from God to be used to advance His church, where He gets the glory. That is what we are as believers. You have been called to surpass your own understanding, your own wisdom, and work in this miraculous church, which is Jesus Christ, and to elevate Him. I just pray that we all become such people of God. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, teach us the heart of John the Baptist and of Moses and of the Apostle Paul. All of them considered their position in this life in human eyes as nothing. But they elevated you, Lord, knowing that it is your Holy Spirit that works within us as believers to advance your kingdom. Lord, teach us to boldly seek out the task you would have us to do. And let the Holy Spirit take us further than we could ever imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.